Welcome to Art Heroes with JPH, where we believe art heals, connects, and galvanizes. I'm your host, Joanna Patrice Haggerty. On this show, I am honored to have some of the nation's most innovative leaders, artists, and creative business owners to share their unique and valuable experiences, processes, practical tips, and inspirations. Today with me is Andrew Thelston, who is a high-energy rock and roll artist from Asheville, North Carolina. One could describe his sound as guitar-heavy rock combined with funky grooves and soaring vocals. Drawing on influences such as Prince, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Led Zeppelin, and Queen, Thelston creates futuristic rock and roll, which echoes the past. Not only does he showcase his virtuosity as a guitarist and vocalist, he uniquely displays his evolving talent as a songwriter and producer on his albums, EPs, and latest single, Time. Over the past 5 years, the Andrew Thelston Band has been captivating audiences across the Southeast with their high-energy, funky rock and roll. Bassist Roddy and drummer Jeff create a rock-solid rhythm for Andrew to lay vocals and guitar upon. In 2019, Thelston had his original music featured on the hit Netflix show Lucifer. I brought Andrew on to talk about all things art and business, but first, Andrew, thanks for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's such an honor. I know I tried to get you, I think, earlier in this year when the single was even closer to releasing, but Hey, it happens, right?
Okay. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we kind of dive into all things modern and what's going on in your life right now, I always like to wind the clock back with my art heroes and just talk a little bit about what was Andrew's life in the early days. Were you always enveloped in music? Was this something that came a little later? Tell us now.
Well, I have told this story a couple times on some different interviews and stuff, but I mean, my earliest memories are listening to classic rock like Aerosmith and Boston and things like that with my mom in the car, probably 3 years old. Definitely listening to a lot of music back then. I remember being super obsessed with the Beatles in the mid-90s. They came out with like the Beatles anthology, And it was like all this studio stuff, and I remember just soaking all of it in and just like reading these little like liner notes about what I was listening to them in the studio. So I knew so much about recording even like an early age before I was even playing music and things like that. So yeah, I definitely got really obsessed with music, and I, you know, kind of took some piano lessons when I was, I don't know, probably 6 or 7. They didn't stick. And it's interesting because I teach lessons now, and my younger students, I can kind of see that in them as well sometimes, where it's just like, you're too young.
Yeah.
Too young. You might like music, but there definitely like is an age where kids are just more into, and it's just practice more than anything, and it's you know, I just wasn't really into practicing as much as just listening to it. But later on I got involved with band in middle school, and then I think I was listening to Van Halen, oddly enough, with my mom, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense because they weren't really doing much at the time. This was about, I guess, 23 years ago. And I was like, I really want to play guitar. And I remembered that my grandmother, of all people, had an electric guitar. And When I was a kid, I kind of would see it sort of like as like a piece of furniture almost. And I just kind of, you know, it was always in like the one of the rooms kind of in the corner and stuff, and kind of messing with it. And so I kind of asked my grandma, I was like, can I take some lessons? Is it okay to use your guitar? And she gave me that guitar, and you know, pretty much started learning right away. And, you know, I got involved with jazz band in high school, and I started a ton of bands when I was in high school, and just kind of started gigging and started that whole world, kind of got thrown into that world, and, you know, just started learning. And, you know, probably the hardest part about being a musician, being a band leader, is just kind of like dealing with people and like dealing with your bandmates. And, you know, I've always been that guy. And so, you know, kind of getting that experience young and being like, oh, people aren't, you know, that bass player is not going to be as into this as I am.
Right.
So well, kind of seeing even that kind of stuff of, you know, if I really want to do this, I just have to be really super into it. And yeah. I have to, like, it's on me to be excited about it, because not necessarily everybody that I'm playing with or whatever, they're not going to be as excited about it as I am. So that's kind of always been my motivation, is just like, oh, does this song excite me? Do I like this?
If I really love hearing all of that. Man, yeah. I mean, what you just unpacked was such an amazing conversation. And as someone who brings a variety of artists and creative professionals onto the show, it's so fun to hear for you that music was sort of just always there. It had this little bit thread. I love how you mentioned the guitar sort of being a piece of furniture, because I think when it becomes sort of more ingrained into our society and into our system, it becomes easier for us to say, oh, well, let me pick up that instrument, play something, get a little confusing with it, like explore it. And I also really love how you seem to early on understand that you weren't ready for the theory side. And I completely agree. Did piano, never practiced. I would actually just go in and be like, hey, teacher, would you play this for me? And my grandpa luckily was really good at playing by ear, and I picked that up.
Yeah.
It was so fascinating watching everybody stumble into music in different ways. But what I'm hearing, Andrew, is that you have the affinity for some of the sides that people don't always love, the people managing, the business acumen side of it. And I think that is really what stands you apart in being able to create your products and sounds.
Well, and it's just one of those things. Whenever I went to college, I majored in music. I took some lessons on guitar in high school, and I was like, okay, I really want to do this. And so I went to Western Carolina University, and they had a really good program for commercial electronic music, which is like producing, recording, along with standard music theory. And I took, you know, a lot of jazz guitar while I was there, and really studied the heck out of my instrument. But while I was there, I also got into even heavier gigging life, and like that. Being able to perform to, like, you know, at the time I was playing a lot of bars and stuff,
right.
But to be able to get a band together, get, you know, two guys along with me that could actually perform and then go through. And it was a lot different. You know, I sound like an old man saying that, but it was a lot different back in my day.
Back in our day.
Yeah, because you had to go and you'd have to have like a CD or something. And like YouTube was in its infancy. So, you know, you'd have to go and be like, well, here's what we sound like. Here's our demo, whatever. And, you know, you'd have to talk about money in person or on the phone, opposed to now, where most of my booking and things that are done as far as that's just done through email. But, you know, back then you'd have to, you know, I remember we somehow landed this residency gig, which I thought was amazing. I was like a junior in college, and I was like, oh, man, a month. Two gigs a week. We were probably getting paid nothing, but I had worked it out, and I was like, man, like, this is going to set me up for summer. I don't have to work anywhere. I just have to do this 1 month and I'm going to be great. We set it up to where like the first show was like the last day of, you know, the semester. So everybody was out there, and then like nobody else was out there the rest of the month. But I remember talking to this guy, and his name was Big Rick. And like, he was a large, intimidating guy. And, you know, we did the whole handshake for the thing, and like, he about like crushed my hand. I was like, oh no, but what have I done? But, it was a good experience. And like, kind of those experiences have just like helped me, because I know so many great musicians that don't get to perform just because they can't find somebody that can help them in that business. And anytime I talk to any of my friends that are performers and stuff, if they're like, hey, how'd you book this gig, or how'd you do that, like, I'm always sharing information and stuff. Yeah. I always try to help people, because it's such like a trial and error thing that I just kind of stumbled upon, you know, the way you structure emails and the way you talk to people and all that kind of stuff. And even like the money issue sometimes in Western North Carolina, it's strange what certain places will pay for bands versus other places. And then if you drive 30 or 40 miles, that changes. And just the saturation of markets and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's it's the least fun part of being a band leader and playing music and playing in a band, but it's a complete necessary evil that you have to deal with as an artist, is you got to figure out how to get out there.
Right. And, you know, you hit so many different parts of how people who are musicians in particular can make money. And so touring or performing out in front of a crowd is one of the methodologies.
Yep.
And it sounds like for you, that's kind of got that itch and that bug that you wouldn't get rid of, even if, you know, you're making all the money in studio, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, like I produce a lot of artists, you know, in the last couple of years, and that's been a lot of fun. I work with my friend Daniel at Gingerbird Studios, and we do a lot of different artists like Carrie Morrison and Fancy Marie, Fancy and the Gentlemen. She's working on some music right now with us, and lots of other bands over the years outside of my own stuff. And, you know, that it's always fun. And I just, it's two different worlds. It's kind of like, here, let me paint this, and the recording is the painting. The painting, that's what everybody's going to see for the end of time. That's what's going to be on Spotify and Apple Music. That's what you're going to sell on your CDs or your records or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the finished thing. That's, there you go.
The piece of art.
Yes, that's the thing that you can get. That's as far as you went with it. There you go. Then, whenever you're performing that piece, then you have to have two or three musicians along with yourself attempt to recreate that painting in front of people all together. And it's crazy whenever you kind of think about it, and all bands do it. And like, I mean, some of my favorite musicians, Jack White, who's playing in Asheville this week, actually, he does the same kind of thing. Like whenever you listen to his, especially his solo albums, they're very lush, lots of background vocals on that kind of stuff, and he's touring in like a four-piece band, so suddenly things are changing, you're doing different things that you didn't do on the record. So it's kind of, I don't know, opening up your mind a little bit to expanding out the sound or dwindling it down to the necessary, like reducing it down almost to like the necessary ingredients to get the point of the song across, which is always fun. So
well, and that's the best part about being an artist, again, as someone who creates music, is you get to stamp this thing. And just like with radio, we're stamping this conversation now, but you and I will talk for years to come, and those conversations will also color everything else moving forward. It's so amazing to watch art really be able to evolve. And again, to really just touch on the business hat that you do. You've talked about so many different methods, right? People can sell merch and CDs, and they can, you know, have live gigs. You can have Patreons. There's so many different ways to make money off of being a creative. And part of the thing, if you're going to do it as a profession, is to get creative with that, right? What's making my bills, and where do I get to really expound on that? So I'd love to hear a couple of the other projects. You mentioned the record label you're helping out with. I know there's so much that goes on in your world. What else are you really excited about that you've been doing recently?
Well, so whenever I released my solo album back in 2017, it was just me. I played every instrument. I'm such a big Prince fan. I'm such a dork for Prince and all things Prince that I was like, and in Paul McCartney and Dave Grohl, they all did this on their first albums, but especially Prince did it throughout his career, where he played every single instrument. So I did that, and then I put on the back of my CD, performed, what is it? What's the verbiage? It's written, recorded, performed, and produced by Prince. So I did the same thing, but by Andrew Felston. So I had to kind of put that on there. But whenever I was putting it out there, I was like, well, now's a good time for me to start my record label, in quotes. So I started Clever Dog Records, and my wife and I, we had two dogs, Eli and Freddie, and, you know, we kind of have like a cute picture that my friend Mar Star, she designed this logo and stuff. And since then, over the years, I've just been producing, you know, people on the side. My friend Carrie Morrison, she's a fantastic singer-songwriter out here. And she occasionally plays in my band, plays keys and sings. And then, you know, again, other artists, my bass player, Roddy Wilder, we recorded his EP. 2020, while it was one of those years of, you know, just complete existential dread for musicians right. and artists of all type, anybody, you know, along with just the general public.
Right.
I was sitting at home with all my recording gear and I was like, all right, well, luckily back in January of 2020, we started working on like an EP, my EP and then Roddy's. So we got to finish that out.
Wow.
And really take our time. And that was, you know, I'd been really full-time musician since 2018. So for 2 years straight, I was just gigging constantly, purely just to pay the bills.
Right.
Which can turn into a weird thing where, okay, well, like I'm playing at this venue and they want to hear this kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to play too many of my songs. I'm going to play these covers, which there's nothing wrong with playing covers or anything like that. But, you know, for the, you know, I didn't quit my day job to play right. people's music.
So. Right, absolutely. Or to have to switch between an afternoon gig and an evening gig in 20
exactly.
minutes or shove yeah. food down oh, yeah. your mouth. I've, yeah, for yeah. sure.
I've done that plenty of times too, which is wild. But yeah, so I just kind of fell back in love with writing and recording during 2020. And I was like, oh, this is just a big reminder of, hey, dummy, make sure that you're like playing your stuff, you're promoting your stuff. So mm-hmm. along with that, you know, I've been pushing my YouTube page for a couple of years. I've got some really cool music videos and live videos that I'm really proud of. Over the last, I guess, year and a half, we've been doing a couple tribute shows here and there. And that's where last year we were basically doing Led Zeppelin. So if you know anything about Led Zeppelin, the guitar parts are difficult and the vocal parts are difficult. And so for me, being the singer and guitarist, that was a big challenge.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Yeah, so we're a three-piece band, and I love Led Zeppelin. It's one of my earliest influences on guitar. So that's been a lot of fun, but the way I structure it is the first set is an hour and 15 minutes of original music. So I make... it's like we're opening for ourselves essentially, but, you know, an hour and 15 of original music, then we play an hour and a half of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So that's been really cool because people, and we've done this all over the Southeast, you know, different venues and things. And it's been really cool because people are like, oh, hey, you did great with that Led Zeppelin stuff, but your stuff is awesome.
Mm.
And that's like the biggest, that just makes me feel so good. You know, it just makes me feel really like great as an artist, you know, to have yeah. some random human tell me that.
Well, and to know? Be able to kind of relate your independent music to something like Led Zeppelin, which we know people will recognize, they might be more inclined to come and see because it's familiar. And yeah. then you compare that with providing something new for people, I think is so wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I know that we're going to have to wrap up kind of soon. I always hate how short these episodes can be, but you have some fun shows coming up. You were talking to me before we got on that there's a Rocky Horror music show coming up.
Yeah,
right?
I've yes. been a part of that for the last year, and that's been a lot of fun. We're doing the Blue Ridge Pride Festival in Pack Square on September 24th, and then we're doing a full show over at the Gray Eagle October 21st.
Wow.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. We did it last year at the Asheville Music Hall, and it's been a lot of fun. I play Riff Raff, and I do all the guitar parts, and it's, you know, I get to sing high like I usually do. You know, I get to sing the higher register stuff.
Yeah, it's perfect for that like 80s and 90s yeah. kind of throwback and just, Rocky like sometimes, yeah.
Exactly, and just like wail on guitar, and like it's cool because we, you know, I... kind of, if you ever listen to the guitar parts like on Rocky Horror, they're pretty straight ahead, just kind of rock and roll, but I kind of add a lot to it and, you know, kind of put my own little stamp on there and everything. And so yeah, I've been doing that, and we've been doing Fleetwood Mac tribute shows. We've got one of those at the end of the month at Lazy Hiker in Silva, September 30th, and again an hour of original music up front, and then we do this Fleetwood Mac thing, which has been really fun. Lots of solo gigs, lots of duo gigs with my friend Carrie Morrison. And then I'm also playing with Fancy and the Gentlemen, doing something completely different, which is country and rockabilly guitar, which is just a lot of fun to just kind of shred on that stuff while Fancy's singing. So it's that's also, again, another thing that I sort of do out there. But and the thing, going back to the record label, We were talking about those two dogs that we had. Well, unfortunately, about a month ago, our oldest dog, Eli, passed away very unexpectedly.
So sorry.
And it's rough. Grief in general, losing anybody, losing an animal, losing... I mean, he was like a son to me. I had him for almost 10 years, and it was a quick thing, and we had to say goodbye and, you know, kind of processing that while, of course, having to go out on stage and here's a smile and a guitar. And that's also a whole different topic of discussion. But what I've been doing is I got some T-shirts printed up, T-shirts and tank tops and stuff with the Clever Dog Records logo. And every shirt that I sell, I'm taking a percentage and putting that towards a local nonprofit in Western North Carolina, like animal rescue animals and things like that. So, you know, I'm trying to feel a little bit better about, you know, our loss and things and how to kind of honor his memory. And so I've been doing that. So again, I've got all of that stuff, social media, Facebook, Instagram, you can kind of see the shirts, you know, send us a message and we'll try to get one out there. And it's for a good cause. So.
Oh, I love it. I'll certainly purchase and support. And it's just such an honor to have such a creative person on my show. Andrew,
thank you
so much for being here. And I think if people want to learn more about you, it's andrewthelston.com, correct?
Yeah.
Is that the best place?
Yeah. And there's like hubs for all of our social media. Again, YouTube, Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I got a lot of fun fun little guitar videos on TikTok and stuff like that. And I got second place guitarist and rock band in the best of for 2022 for Mountain Express.
Shout out to our local Asheville, North Carolina Mountain Express, and for those amazing rewards. And Andrew, again, such an honor to have you.
Absolutely.
And as always, this is Art Heroes with JPH, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative entrepreneurs, artists, and creative business owners. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please connect by visiting bizradio.us or on Instagram or the web at arthero.biz. We'd love to hear your show suggestions or any questions you may have. And as always, stay creative.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.